everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with my buddy John. We are off and running, off to the races, Tuesday, July 30th, 2024. Yes, it is Election Day. An Election Day in July just feels kind of weird, but they moved it up from the traditional August. Today, Election Day, the polls will be open till about 7 as usual, and then maybe we'll get some results. Who knows? An hour, usually it's hour two, like the latter 2 hours later. We'll see when we get some results. Anyway, we're 13 and a half years plus into the radio project, coming to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media campus here in town, where we have 5 radio stations. This one's KVOI, 1030 The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening. You can listen to the program live at buckmastershow.com, and it's also the place where we have all of our podcasts. Pretty much 98% of every show we've done over the 13 and a half plus years there at buckmastershow.com. For our telephone interviews, and we're going to start off with a telephone interview going up to Tempe and Arizona State University, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Professor Dr. Dennis Hoffman joining us on the live line, director of the L. William Seidman Research Institute at the W.P. Carey School of Business at ASU. He is the director of ASU's Office of the University Economist. He's always a very busy guy. Some of his sponsored projects include the construction and maintenance of the revenue forecasting model used by the Executive Budget Office of the state of Arizona. And they've been using Professor Hoffman's work since 1982. Professor, how are you? How's your summer going?
Bill, you're going to be envious. I'm sitting in Issaquah, Washington.
What?
Where it's probably 65 degrees. And a little cloudy, a little rainy. So I just thought I'd rub it in a little bit, Bill.
Well, I kind of know Washington State. Where is that?
Just east of Bellevue.
Okay.
Kind of a suburb of Seattle.
Yeah, so you're a little R&R for you then, huh?
We got a condo up here, so it's going to be summertime for the Hoffmans. We're going to escape. Finally, you know, when you're as old as I am, Bill, you want to escape.
So. Yes, I totally understand. Anyway,
we need to get to business. What's on your mind today?
Well, what's on my mind? We've passed kind of here the mid-year point. We're launching into the new fiscal year. The baseline outlook for Arizona, you would characterize as being pretty darn good at this point?
Absolutely. Better than it's rumored to be by some, I might add. But no, employment growth is solid. We're a top 10 job creation state, and you know, personal incomes are pretty good. You know, some folks are upset about prices, but of course their wages have been up handsomely over the last 2 or 3 years as well. Revenues are flowing into the coffers. State ended up, and I think you can run the tape back. I predicted that the state was going to have a little more at the end of the fiscal than some folks down there were betting on, and they do. So we're starting the current fiscal a bit better shape than what they thought they were going to start it at. So the governor's numbers did very well this year, Bill.
What was the reason for that extra money coming in? Any thoughts on that?
Well, some of it was a little odd. Some of it was some non-tax sources that are somewhat volatile, kind of, you know, cash out at the end of the year, interest, that kind of thing. But the big three income categories, sales and use and corporate and individual, corporate was really quite very strong due to some changes in the corporate tax base. We're getting a little bit more money out of corporate these days. But all in all, when it adds up, you know, we got, I'd say $400 or $500 million, you know, surplus kind of carry forward this year when they were only banking on like 150. So we're in pretty good shape going forward.
The state population growth, Professor, has been declining from 1.6% in 2023 to 1.3% in 2024. That's driven by, I'm reading here an article that says it's driven by a slower pace of net migration. Do you have any thoughts on that? Why are,
that's the first one. That's the first one. There's fewer movers. So, you know, back in the, I can turn the clock back for me, back in the 50s and 60s when I couldn't wait to move to Arizona and get out of the Midwest, there's just fewer of that baby boomer type cohort that is ready and willing to move. And some of that is just, you know, it's everything from the cost of childcare to, you know, being concerned about elder care and childcare and mobility of work and things like that. There's just there's somewhat fewer movers. There'd be plenty of movers if we liberalized our immigration laws. Not, I didn't mean to use the term liberal there for some of your audience,
okay.
But if you simply updated our immigration laws and allowed productive workers to come into this country and take up residence, you would find population growth, would surge, certainly. But the other part of it is arithmetic. As you get bigger and bigger, the same amount of new people coming in every year, be it 60, 70, 80,000, 100,000, you know, is just a smaller share of the total because you've grown so big. So some of that 1.7 to 1.6, you know, that kind of thing is just arithmetic.
You know, there's certainly there in the Valley of the Sun, there's so many job opportunities coming online with these for those that want to get into high tech and with all the chip, the Taiwan chip people and all of that. But I'm a little worried about where they're going to get the one, electricity, and then the water, Dennis Hoffman.
Well, you're right to be concerned, certainly about the former. I think the latter is more complex. I'm not saying we don't need to worry about water. We need to worry about water, but new homes are more and more efficient as we go on. We still have our requirements in terms of 100-year water supply types of requirements. We got some really bad press with a kind of a wildcat, to use that term negatively, by the way, wildcat development in North Scottsdale that got some bad press over the last couple of years. People that just bought cheap land out in the middle of nowhere that had no access to water, and that gave us a real TARDIS with a brush there. But the West Valley, I think the growth in the West Valley, which is going to accompany this new expansion, I think is really welcome. You've got a lot of homes there. You've got a lot of developable land there. But people didn't want to live there historically as much as the East Valley because the jobs were all in the East Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have a bigger job base in the West Valley, I think it's really going to work well for us. But you mentioned energy bill. We've got to figure out energy and be that some remnants of fossil fuels or some expansion of nuclear or some expansion of renewable, all of the above as far as I'm concerned. But we got to figure it out. And if we want to go exclusively renewable, that's one way to go. But we got to figure out how that's going to work because we are putting in lots of manufacturing facilities, and they're going to consume a lot of energy. So we got to use our energy wisely and more efficiently.
All right, got about 1 minute left. It looks like we will be getting a rate cut, I hope, with the Fed here perhaps in September. How soon would that then be reflected in the housing industry, Professor Hoffman?
So it'll be reflected really quite quickly in terms of the mortgage markets. And for those of us with home equity credit lines, those are tied to the prime interest rate. The prime is 8.5 right now, and that would fall probably a quarter point as the Fed cuts a quarter point. It's probably going to go quarter, 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 I would hope, the last three meetings of the year, and then on into next year as well. So look for lower interest rates, and that'll help kickstart, get some housing moving. The problem with housing, of course, Bill, is people are locked into low mortgages right now, and they don't want to move.
Yeah.
You've got to get conventional mortgage rates back to the sixes and fives so that they're much more attractive to people looking to move up in their homes.
All right, Dennis Hoffman, always a pleasure from the Seedman Research Center, director and economics professor at ASU. Hope you have a great time up in Washington State. Enjoy the cool weather. Thank you very much.
And Bill, we'll talk to you soon, and best to everybody in the Old Pueblo.
Thank you very much, Professor Hoffman. Always a pleasure to have him on our program. Shelley Fishman will kind of pick up from what the professor was talking about, but right now Shelley gives me a thumb that's kind of going nowhere. So one of those days on the markets, but we've got a lot to cover with Shelley Fishman, as usual, right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Shelly Fishman is a financial advisor and business consultant in Tucson, Arizona. Contact Shelly via buckmastershow.com or directly via email at saf824@earthlink.net.
I can feel the cool air just from Professor Hoffman's talking with us from the great Northwest. He's up in Seattle and we're here in Tucson. And if you're looking at the markets in New York today, after a couple of good days, today's kind of flat.
Well, today's kind of flat. Friday was magnificent.
650 points on the upside on the Dow.
The Dow's up again more than 100 points today, but everything else is kind of flat. You know, last week we got a lot of data on the economy. The inflation number year over year that the Fed watches most closely fell to 2.5%, which is very close to their target.
Well, that's good
news. That said, if you take a look at the three-month number, and in other words, what's happened in the last quarter, that's down at 2%. So Mr. Powell doesn't have any excuses. Now, he and his gang are meeting today and tomorrow.
And he speaks tomorrow, I think.
He speaks tomorrow afternoon.
We'll hold our breath.
We could get a really nice surprise and, you know, have the first cut come now, but the bet is it won't come until September. The other big number we got was the GDP growth number for the second quarter. Understanding that this is a preliminary number, all these numbers are subject to modification as more data comes in, but the second quarter growth was at about 2.6% annualized. And that doesn't sound like a lot. We had a 3.6% in the fourth quarter of last year. We had 1.6% for the first quarter of this year, and now 2.6%. So it's headed where economists mostly thought it was going. 2.6%, if this economy grows in the area between 2.5% and 3% for the year, that will be among the best years we've had so far this century.
Wow.
All the numbers are continuing to be very, very good numbers. Now,
So why wait, Mr. Powell?
Why wait, Mr. Powell? Thank you.
You got a meeting going right now. Let's cut right now.
The numbers that continue to alarm people are the residual inflation numbers. Now, if you take a look at the total, for instance, difference between, say, 2.5 years ago and today, groceries are up about 20% in total. Okay? But salaries are up about 11% in total. So guess what? The net negative effect on groceries is about 10% overall, which would have been about 6% had inflation stayed at around 2%. So some people are feeling the effects of inflation more than others. And the people who are feeling it now are the people who are most subject to the higher interest rates. In fact, Dr. Hoffman was talking about housing. That's one of the areas where people are feeling most constrained right now. Because very, very often, housing prices are up. And so people would like to, cash in on the gains that they've had in their homes and move either to a smaller house or, if you're young, to a bigger house. But they'd have to go from a 3% mortgage or a 3.5% mortgage to a 7% mortgage, and nobody wants to do that. And that is entirely in the Fed's purview for controlling. In fact, you and I have been talking about this now I've been carping on this for more than a year. The effect of these higher interest rates has not been to fix the inflation problem. That got fixed because the pandemic's done.
Right.
These were inflationary numbers caused by supply chains.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are some other things that were contributing, like bird flu and just global warming causing huge upsets worldwide in crops.
Mm-hmm.
Thus the rise in groceries. And there's corporate greed. I mean, it's just there. But the real problems are that we can't get corporations to invest all of the money they could be investing because their cost of borrowing is too high. And the cost of housing is borrowing. I mean, people don't pay cash for their homes. So that cost is very, very high. That's what the Fed needs to address. And, you know, we always look for support for the things we believe in, for, you know, for positive
reinforcement.
Positive reinforcement. But there was an article. It got published in the Times today. It appeared in electronic form a little bit earlier by Jen Harris. Now, Jen Harris is director of Economy and Society Initiative at the Hewlett Foundation, but she also was the international economics director for both the National Security Council and the National Economic Council. So this is a very high-powered economist. The name of this article, the title, is What the Fed is Doing to Our Election, Our Climate, and Our Economy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd like to say I could have written this, but I have, you know, I read it with this growing kind of excitement that here's a real, real, you know, she has no axes to grind. I mean, she doesn't work for a large, you know, company. She doesn't work for, you know, investment funds or banks. She's got no axe to grind except to take a look at what the Fed's policies have done to our economy, not as an unintended consequence, but actually their primary effects in their rising interest rates, when she contends, and I agree with her, that rising rates have not affected the inflation picture at all. The inflation picture would have come down. What we have here is a completely unusual, untraditional inflation picture caused by a pandemic. And what she says, look, what this is doing is it's making people feel bitter about the economy, which, of course, is being reinforced by those people who have a stake in wanting the, you know, people to feel bitter. We've got 40 years of tax policy that has driven every dollar of domestic production growth to the top 10% of earners in this country, so that the middle class has essentially been flat for 40 years. That's because of tax policy. So, we are allowing all of the money, all of the benefits of what has been for, you know, with the exception of a couple of years in the Bush administration in the, you know, 2007, 2008, and then we went into recovery. We are allowing all of those benefits from 1990 on to have eluded the middle class. And as a result, kids growing up now in middle class families are feeling pressure, financial pressures that you and I, Bill, never felt.
So bottom line, she says, why wait?
Why wait? She says, look, it's affecting our election, it's affecting our economy, and she links it to climate change, because she's saying all of the investment that needs to be put into renewable energy sources is capital intensive.
Mm-hmm.
And when interest rates are as high as they are now, it slows that down. And so she's saying the things that you and I have been talking about for a year or more, and I read this with great interest and kind of glee, you know, that somebody at her level is finally saying this thing out loud. Again, the name of the article is What the Fed is Doing to Our Election, Our Climate, and Our Economy, and the author is Jen Harris.
And she says the Fed should begin cutting rates now rather than waiting until September or later, as it has signaled so far. Yeah. So the odds are very low that there'll be a cut this week.
She also takes a couple of, let's call them cheap shots, but they're not cheap because of who they're coming from, and Milton Friedman, the economist who has really created this old-fashioned view of what the purpose of corporations is. Now, we got some movement away from that view a couple of years ago as we begin to see corporations taking into account more the stakeholders other than just the stock owners. But they're backing off from that now. And what this article does is say, you know, let's take a look at this guy, Milton Friedman. He had a huge influence, and maybe he was wrong. So, yeah, I mean, I would recommend this article to just about anybody who's really interested in reading about the economy and where it's going.
Okay, Shelley Fishman, we shall see what they do, but don't keep your – or don't hold your breath, as they say. All right. Shell, have a great week, okay?
You too, Bill.
All right. We will be right back, midway point of the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday. Find out how the election is going, if there are any hiccups. Adelita Grijalva, the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, joins us right after the break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. It's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Let's talk about Green Things. And our friends over there, Jen and Jack, the owners, very hands-on. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. 13-acre site. They have Jen and Jack, the owners, have that site looking so good. And they also have their sister business, Zocalo Village, which is part of the complex over there. And Zocalo Village, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America. There's even some European items that are there. So come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Green Things, 53, they've been in business 53 years. And they've done, Jan and Jack, very hands-on. They make those buying trips to Mexico for really all over the world. Some of the pottery they have there is just outstanding. GreenThingsAZ.com and their sister business is ZocaloVillage.com. And again, they are open daily in their 53rd year of business. All right. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Joining us now, in studio, and I'm glad she was able to come into the studio. We thought we were going to have to utilize the live line. Adelita Grijalva, the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Hey, Adelita.
Hi, how are you, Bill?
Thanks for making it in.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to. I was running, but yeah. Yes, we're here.
Take a deep breath. We're cool here. First of all, I want to ask about your dad. How is the congressman doing?
He's doing really well. Thank you so much for asking. He is done with treatment and just sort of trying to get all his antibodies up so he can, you know, be in some larger crowds. But I think that he's feeling good. He's still working, obviously, still campaigning, doing all of the things. Just we're trying to keep him in a little bit of a bubble until, and now we have a lovely spike in COVID everywhere. So
yeah, it's
that's
everywhere.
That's a little scary. Yeah.
I think I know at least five people who came down with COVID just this week.
Yeah, and the symptoms are kind of like they were at the very beginning, a lot of loss of taste and smell, but then still coupled with the later issues with, you know, tummy issues and fevers. And it's kind of all over.
We had a pretty extensive conversation with Dr. Matt Hines on the show yesterday, and he was saying that this variant, luckily, it's not necessarily sending people to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nasty.
Yeah, and it's also sticking around for a long time if you don't catch it.
Yeah.
I had a friend who tested negative, felt really not great, tested negative three times. And so it'd been like 4 days. So she's out of the window for like really effective use of medications like Paxlovid.
Yeah.
And it stuck around and still she has kind of remnants of a little, sounds like a cough. So
yeah, and a lot of people... Yeah. It's not talked about a lot, but you have to be very careful with the Paxlovid that, you know, there are contraindications if you're on certain other medications and things. So if you are coming down with COVID, please ask your doctor, you know, before you just automatically say, oh, I'll get on the Paxlovid. But tell the doctor about what you are taking currently, because there may be some issues there.
Yes, then you have to still get a prescription
exactly,
and all of that. And so,
exactly.
Yeah.
All right, here we are, Election Day. I wanted to bring you into the studio today, first of all, to get an update. Today is the primary day. It's very weird. I mean, I've been in town forever, and I can't ever remember a July primary. It's always been, you know, August and even later. But this is July 30th. This is primary day. Give us an update. What are you hearing from the people at Pima County Elections?
Thus far, everything is running smoothly. We haven't had any major issues. All of the sites are listed on Pima.gov. We have, like, you know, 126 vote centers, and you have until 7 p.m. to get, if you have your ballot and would like to drop it off, you can drop it off at any of the vote centers. And all you have to do is go to pima.gov and they'll give you a whole list of what, put your address in and they'll let you know which is the closest vote center. You can drop your ballot off there. I was at a polling, two polling places, and most of the people coming in are people with their ballots in hand.
Mm-hmm. These are people that got an early ballot and for whatever reason, they just want to drop it, you know, waited and they're going to drop it off today.
Yeah. Or you kind of forgot and
yeah.
wanted to put it in the mail and then saw all of the little notices that gave you a deadline that had passed. So I'm glad people are holding on to those ballots and to make sure that their ballot will be counted.
And as of Monday, there are 620, almost 624,000 active Pima County voters, according to the county recorder's office. And among them, it's kind of interesting the way this breaks down. Registered Democrats still have the advantage in Pima County, a little over 223,000. The Republicans are a little over 175,000. But here's the kind of the big story, the growing importance of independents here in Pima County, over 206,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have, and my daughter is just shy of being able to vote in this election. She's a December baby, but a lot of her friends are choosing to vote independent or register as independents because their interests are not, they don't identify with either party necessarily. So I think that that's going to be really critical, not just here in Pima County in Arizona, but nationwide.
So there was an incorrect date listed on Pima County sample ballots that were sent to voters ahead of today's primary. How did your research find out how did all that happen?
It was something that happened out of our Department of Elections. It was just an oversight. It's an unfortunate oversight, and what they had to do was send out postcards with the correct date. We put it on our website. I don't mean we're talking about it all the time, so I don't think anyone is going to be confused. But
the date did say August 30th instead of July 30th, but people probably, I don't know.
Yeah, there was July 30th was in another location on the sample ballot.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Oh.
So there was a conflict of dates, and then if you call and got a voicemail, it was you were reminded that it was the 30th. We put it on all of our social media stuff with Pima County, and then they sent out another little postcard.
I'll be very curious to see. There have been some really, the county attorney's race. I want to see how that plays out. Do you think we'll have some results by about 9?
I think that's the goal. Definitely by 10 o'clock. There are a couple of primary races that are going to be interesting to watch. The sheriffs on both sides of the Democrat or Republican parties. So there'll be some pretty big elections.
The from my interview yesterday with Dr. Hines, and I wanted to ask your thoughts on that because you had advocated, and there has been a change in the call to audience.
Yes.
Right. Well, Dr. Hines, he actually said on the air yesterday that he believes that the meetings should be that the call to the audience should be telephonically done.
He's mentioned that.
Just what are some of your thoughts about
it? I don't agree with that. I mean, I respect his opinion. I understand his concern. You know, he's had a lot of targeted sort of attacks on him personally. But then, you know, because there's so much, I'll try to be delicate. There's a lot of passion in people's opinions, their political opinions. You see some of that at our call to the audience. And we've been personally threatened, and so
something about a firing squad.
Yes. And so I mean, you know what we're hoping is
not laughable.
No, it's not.
It's weird.
And so we have more security. Everyone is being screened. We've increased a little bit of those protocols, and we're hoping that we can continue to have a very civil discourse. I mean, there's no conversation. And so a lot of people are saying, well, we can't debate. Well, that's not this forum. This forum is not to debate. You come up for 2 to 3 minutes and give us an opinion on something. ideally that we're going to be voting on or something that we have some realm of influence on.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people who are very passionate and say, you know, you have to close the border. That's not in our realm of influence or authority. And so I just think the majority of the people coming forward have legitimate concerns or feedback or input on issues that are on our agenda or coming up. And I appreciate
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. And there is the 2 to 3 minute limit.
Well, what was happening is that our call to the audience was dipping into 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Yeah, we'd have, because we allow everyone to speak and we don't have a limit. So like city council meetings have a limit. We don't have one. And I actually am supportive of that. But when our call to the audience is longer than our actual meetings, I think okay. that's problematic. And what happens is when we have 20 people that have signed up, then once we hit 20, everyone goes from 3 minutes to 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we changed it in our policy. We voted on it. A majority voted in favor. And so that's sort of where it is. And I have to say the vast majority of people coming to our call to the audience are civil. They might be emotional, might be upset about something, but they say what they need to say and they sit down.
Can people bring like signs in and...
No. Yeah, we had to make some changes there because the signs were blocking the online viewing, you know, that kind of stuff. So we're not allowing signs. You know, you can't yell and scream and interrupt, and we can't have any of that.
And so far, this seems to be going well.
Relatively well, except for, you know, we have to remind people that they have to be civil. It's okay to disagree. It's okay if you don't like an opinion of one of us. You're welcome to say that, but no threats mm-hmm. or hate speech, either mm-hmm. one of those. And I'm the one who decides as the chair. I'm the one who decides whether it's hate speech or not.
All right. Let's take the break right here. We'll have more with Adelita Grijalva, the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. It's the Buckmaster Show on Election Day, Tuesday, July 30th. And by the way, tomorrow we'll deconstruct what went on at the ballot box. Going to have Dylan is going to be here. Dylan Smith and Jim Nintzel will be joining me. And also we've got General Ted Maxwell will be weighing in with some of his thoughts. Take a break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Well, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This time of year, we send so many people over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. For me, it's an easy sell to tell people about going over there, because the sell is, would you like to go to a place that where it's going to be 10 to 15 degrees cooler? And a great place to do a lot of hiking in the Gila National Wilderness after all the rain. It's really a great getaway. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Starting place, I would suggest southwestnewmexico.org, their great website. And there's a ton of stuff to do over there. I send a lot of my listeners over there, and everybody always says the same thing. Bill, had a great time. Had no idea. Lived in Tucson all my life. Never been over there. And it's a neat area. All right. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Adelita Grijalva, the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, is with me on this election day. And going back to today's election, you've got a lot of great information on the website there.
Yeah. So there, if you're interested, you can just go to pima.gov. Mm-hmm. There's a little place that says elections, and it says track the turnout. And you can go to what I'm looking at right now. It gives you the information about who has turned in a ballot, who voted early, who is voting on election day. Thus far, our turnout is 22.45%. Right now at almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we've had 161,534 ballots cast. Hmm. 161,534 ballots cast, but we have 719,000 eligible voters. And so this election is going to be decided. And primaries are usually a little bit of a lighter turnout. But I would say if we get up to 25 or 26% at this point, I think, you know, these races are going to be decided by a small percentage of the eligible voters.
The vast majority of people turn in a ballot early.
Yes. Well, 148,000 of the 161 turned their ballot in early.
I know there's been some that say, well, we should do away with early voting and only people are going to the polls election day. But early voting is so popular.
It is so popular. It also really disenfranchises a lot of people. And so, you know, I can fill out my ballot at home. I can take my time. I can talk to my kids about the importance of voting, do all of that. And then, you know, drop it in the mail. And my vote is counted. We in Pima County have a pretty amazing system that allows you to track your ballot where it is. And it's, I think it's a model for the nation of how we're letting people know where their ballot is in the process. Mm-hmm. I know that mine reached its final destination weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. I think it's really a really important piece in transparency, which is really valuable right now and something that sometimes is questioned about our elections.
All right. Perhaps you can explain the REIT or racing and horse racing. Folks are very passionate about what's going on. There's not going to be any racing next winter. Is it How do you characterize this?
So I think what's happening is we had people who were maintaining the properties for us and running the retail waste rate. Now we are put out another bid for proposals to see who would like to come in. Just recently, as of the 28th, we received a communication from a representative on Pima County's Fair Horse Racing Commission offering to purchase the Rito Regional Park, which is not something that has ever happened that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it's problematic. There was no price attached. It just sort of said, please accept the offer.
What?
But we're not sure.
What is the offer? Please accept the offer. What?
I don't know. And I do know that, you know, the properties need some maintenance. There are some issues that are going to be capital improvements. Uh-huh. I understand all of that. But I do see a problem in some of the members that are on our current Fair Horse Racing Commission have a real conflict in the fact that they do business and benefit from it. So it's that balance of you want people that are involved so they understand what the racing system needs, the owners and jockeys and, you know, horse owners, all of those people. You want to understand, and the vendors, you want to understand what they need, but you shouldn't be able to have a direct benefit from whether this happens or not. And so that is the problem that I see coming up. I do think that there is a lot of conflict of interest with our current members, and we need to have legal look into that to make sure that that's separate.
How would that work? I mean, has Pima County ever sold a park or to a private individual or group of individuals?
Not that I am aware of. In this letter, they mentioned that other counties have done that in Arizona. I don't know. I don't believe that we have. I know that we've picked up properties that used to be privately owned, like the Air Museum. We picked that up, and we still have other people that are running it.
But you don't know about it going the other way.
I'm not sure about that. No, not in my tenure.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, relatively short in the life of Pima County.
I haven't gotten your opinion lately about the Regional Transportation Authority's RTA Next. The clock's running here.
It is. I do think that they're closer to a solution that
would
ensures equity
the
from
parties,
the city of Tucson, right?
Where all the parties, the nine members on the Regional Transportation Authority Board would feel there's something in it for each of their constituents.
Correct. But critically important is that the city of Tucson has equity in that system, because if they pull out or they discourage voters from voting in favor of, and you know, it's another tack. It's, you know, it's, so people have feelings about that anyway. So if we're not all on the same page in encouraging voters to go out and support it, it would really devastate mostly Pima County because we don't have a way to increase taxes to be able to, you know, provide some of these transportation infrastructure pieces that are really critically important.
You really couldn't do it without the city.
No, we cannot. And I think that once everyone gets to that reality, we might be able to move more quickly into a place where we can work together collaboratively, because we do need each other.
Any final thoughts before I let you go?
No, if you are sitting on your ballot, please go turn it in. If you are an Election Day voter, go vote. If you didn't receive your ballot in the mail and believe that you are registered, please go to a vote center. You can file a provisional ballot. I mean, we really would like you to vote. We want to see this turnout and these elections, the representatives that are being elected, be by the people and a majority of the people. So,
all right. Adelita Grijalva, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. On this election day, primary election day 2024. All right. Tomorrow, once again, we'll talk about some of the election results. Dylan Smith is going to be here and Jim Nintzel. And also dropping by will be General Maxwell of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, talking about a little bit about the primary and probably an RTA update as well, because he's very much involved with that process as they try to hammer out an RTA next. All right. On behalf of Chairwoman Adelita Grijalva and John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster wishing everyone well.